Good morning, and welcome to News Briefing. Today is March 28, and on this day in 1898, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a landmark ruling in the case of United States v. Wong Kim Ark, establishing a cornerstone of American law by affirming birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment. This decision remains highly relevant in today's political discourse, shaping debates around immigration and national identity. We have a packed agenda for you this morning, diving deep into major global and domestic headlines. From the intensifying conflict in Iran and its ripple effects across the political landscape, to the latest in U.S. politics with presidential actions and congressional stalemates. We'll also bring you crucial developments from India, gripping international stories, the newest in sports, including international cricket news from ESPNChrisInfo.com, and the evolving world of technology. Joining me today to break down these top stories is our senior reporter, Arohi. Arohi, it's certainly been a tumultuous period globally, particularly with the ongoing situation in Iran. What's the latest on how this conflict is impacting global dynamics and even domestic politics in the U.S.?
Absolutely, Arjav. The conflict in Iran has become a dominant, even polarizing, topic, especially within U.S. conservative circles. We're seeing a notable split, particularly between older and younger conservatives, on the appropriate U.S. strategy. This division was front and center at CPAC. While the traditional Republican base, often older, supports the administration's assertive stance, a growing segment of younger conservatives, influenced by non-interventionist views, question implications and advocate for an exit ramp. This internal debate signals pressure on the administration to articulate a definitive de-escalation strategy.
That internal division at CPAC is fascinating, especially given the conference's traditional role. And it's not just the political discourse. The humanitarian situation on the ground in Iran is reportedly dire. What can you tell us about the civilian impact there?
The situation for civilians in Iran is indeed devastating, Arjav. 1 month since the U.S. and Israel launched strikes, Tehran residents describe their lives as utterly upended. The BBC spoke to families whose homes have been destroyed and loved ones are missing. We hear heartbreaking accounts, like one resident sharing, "My daughter is under the rubble." The civilian toll continues to rise, painting a grim picture of the human cost, compounding the already complex geopolitical challenges of the region.
It's a truly tragic situation, and the reverberations of this conflict are clearly being felt globally. Beyond the immediate impact, what are the broader potential repercussions being discussed by analysts and experts?
Experts are sounding significant alarms, Arjav. Three prominent journalists, for instance, have voiced deep concern about the long-term consequences of Operation Epic Fury, warning that the world could deeply regret this war. Their analysis suggests potential for regional destabilization, radicalization of new groups, and unforeseen geopolitical shifts could far outweigh any perceived short-term gains. There's a strong sentiment among these analysts that strategic implications for the Middle East and global security are profound and could lead to decades of instability if not managed with extreme caution.
Those warnings are sobering, and it seems the digital front is also active in this conflict, with reports of cyber attacks. What do we know about the breach involving the FBI director's personal emails?
Yes, Arjav, the cyber dimension is playing a role. Iran-backed hackers have reportedly breached the personal emails of FBI Director Kash Patel. The hacker group has since shared what they claim to be Patel's resume and personal photos online. While the FBI acknowledged the incident, they stated the information released is historical in nature, implying it may be outdated or less sensitive. However, any breach of a high-ranking official's accounts raises significant concerns about national security and ongoing cyber warfare.
This digital aspect ties into another surprising development from the international stage involving high-level communications. We heard reports that Elon Musk was on a call between President Trump and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi regarding the Iran conflict. Can you confirm this, and what's the significance if true?
This story certainly raised eyebrows, Arjav. Initially, widespread reports, notably from the New York Times, confirmed Elon Musk joined a call between President Trump and Prime Minister Modi. This participation was particularly notable because it's exceedingly rare for a private citizen to be included in a conversation between two heads of state. The report suggested this marked a significant improvement in Musk's relationship with the president. The call's purpose was to discuss the war with Iran. However, India later denied these reports, stating Musk was not part of the official diplomatic exchange. This denial creates a conflicting narrative.
A fascinating and somewhat confusing development indeed. Shifting gears to domestic U.S. politics, you mentioned CPAC earlier. Beyond the Iran debate, were there other significant fissures or discussions emerging from the conference?
Absolutely, Arjav. CPAC, traditionally a platform to establish conservative orthodoxy, saw organizers this year explicitly create space for dissent, highlighting ongoing schisms within the MAGA movement. While speakers championed Trump's agenda, noticeable debates emerged on issues ranging from government intervention in the economy to the Republican Party's future post-Trump. This wasn't merely a fringe element. Disagreements were brought onto the main stage, signaling that while Trump remains dominant, an active internal struggle exists for the party's ideological soul and future leadership.
So the party Trump remade is still grappling with its identity. Speaking of political identity and capturing voters, we're seeing some interesting trends in candidate recruitment. Tell us about Kayla Berg, the flight attendant running for Congress.
Kayla Berg represents a fascinating new wave of political candidates, Arjav. She's a flight attendant running for Congress, campaigning literally one layover at a time. Berg is part of a crop of working-class candidates the Democratic Party actively supports, hoping they can help win back blue-collar voters who have increasingly drifted Republican. Her campaign focuses on everyday struggles and economic anxieties, aiming to resonate with voters feeling left behind. Her background offers a unique perspective on issues like labor rights and healthcare.
That's a compelling strategy for Democrats. Meanwhile, President Trump is also working to shore up his key support blocs, particularly farmers. What's he doing to address their concerns, especially given the impact of tariffs and ongoing conflicts?
President Trump has indeed moved to offer more aid to farmers, Arjav, a consistent crucial support bloc significantly impacted by his administration's trade tariffs and economic fallout from the Iran conflict. The president announced new loan guarantees at a White House event, designed to reassure this group. Many farmers found themselves caught in the crosshairs of his policies, facing reduced export markets and financial strain. This new aid package aims to mitigate economic pressure, reinforcing their loyalty amidst challenging conditions.
It's clear the administration is navigating a complex political and economic landscape. Speaking of economic challenges and political maneuvering, the Department of Homeland Security funding remains a contentious issue. What's the latest on the DHS shutdown?
The situation with DHS funding remains critical, Arjav, with the House vote setting up a direct clash with the Senate, prolonging the government shutdown. Republicans in the House revolted over a Senate measure to fund DHS, passing a rival bill reflecting their priorities on border security. This move significantly dims chances of a quick resolution. The shutdown is having tangible consequences, particularly affecting airports where TSA agents and essential personnel are working without pay, leading to mounting operational issues and safety concerns.
That's a significant disruption for travelers and a stark reminder of legislative gridlock. And while Congress grapples with funding, there are also strong voices of dissent emerging from outside Washington. Tell us about the No Kings protests planned for this weekend.
No Kings, a network of progressive groups, is aiming for record turnout in Saturday's anti-Trump protests, Arjav. Organizers announced demonstrations will be staged across the country and abroad, serving as a widespread public outcry against the Trump administration's actions and policies. The movement seeks to mobilize diverse communities and amplify marginalized voices. These protests are about expressing discontent, but also galvanizing political action and raising awareness for various social justice issues, expected to send a powerful message.
A strong statement from progressive groups. Moving our focus beyond U.S. domestic issues, let's turn to some other significant international developments. Arohi, the BBC Russian service, has a remarkable history of operating under challenging conditions. What's the latest chapter in their 80-year defiance?
It's a truly compelling story of resilience, Arjav. For half a century, BBC Russian bravely fended off attempts to jam its broadcasts. Now, its website has been blocked. However, the spirit of defiance continues. Despite the blocking, millions still find ways to access and read their content, demonstrating persistent demand for independent news and analysis, especially where state-controlled media is prevalent. It underscores the ongoing struggle for media freedom and how journalists and audiences adapt to circumvent censorship.
That's an inspiring testament to the power of independent journalism. And tragically, we're seeing another humanitarian crisis unfold, this time in Lebanon. What are the latest reports on the displacement there?
The situation in Lebanon is heartbreaking, Arjav. The BBC's Hugo Bachega recently spoke to displaced families in Beirut, revealing the immense scale of the humanitarian crisis. More than 1 million people have now been displaced across Lebanon, forced from their homes due to ongoing conflicts and economic hardship. Families struggle to find shelter, food, and basic necessities, many living in overcrowded conditions. This crisis strains the country's fragile infrastructure, creating a desperate need for international aid and long-term solutions.
It's a stark reminder of the ongoing challenges in the region. And from political instability, we move to a significant legal development in Nepal. What can you tell us about the arrest of the former prime minister?
In Nepal, the political landscape has seen a significant shakeup, Arjav, with the arrest of former Prime Minister KP Sharma Ali. This arrest is directly related to a fatal protest crackdown last year, during an uprising which ousted his government. More than 70 people were killed, sparking widespread condemnation and demands for accountability. Oli's arrest signals a serious step towards addressing past injustices and potentially holding high-ranking officials responsible for actions during civil unrest, underscoring complexities of democratic transitions.
A major development in Nepal's political accountability. Shifting our focus back to India, we have news from the defense sector. What's the latest on Adani Defense and Aerospace?
Adani Defense and Aerospace has made a significant contribution to India's military capabilities, ARJIV. The company delivered the first batch of its indigenously developed Prahar guns to the Indian Army. These light machine guns were formally handed over at Adani's small arms complex in Gwalior. This delivery represents a notable stride in India's efforts towards self-reliance in defense manufacturing, a key policy objective. The Prahar guns are expected to enhance the Indian Army's operational readiness and firepower.
That's an important step for India's defense industry. Now, let's transition to the world of sports, starting with international cricket. What's the latest from ESPNChrisInfo.com regarding New Zealand's upcoming tour?
Cricket fans have some exciting news, ARJIV. New Zealand is set to tour Bangladesh in April for a series of one-day internationals and 2020 internationals. However, the tour is expected to see several key New Zealand players miss out. This is due to their commitments in the Indian Premier League and Pakistan Super League, both prominent franchise T20 tournaments that often clash with international fixtures. This highlights the growing tension between national team duties and lucrative global T20 leagues.
An ongoing dilemma for international cricket. And speaking of the IPL, the opening night is always a spectacle. What can we expect from the start of this year's tournament?
The Indian Premier League is kicking off with a bang, ARJIV, with RCB and SRH taking center stage at the iconic Chinnaswamy Stadium for the opening night. This marks the first time top-flight cricket returns to the venue since May last year, much to the delight of passionate local fans. The opening match promises high-octane action and sets the tone for one of the most anticipated cricket tournaments globally. The return to Chinnaswamy for such a major event is a treat for fans.
Always a thrill when the IPL season begins. Beyond the professional leagues, we're seeing increasing attention on athlete well-being in college sports. What are researchers finding about emotional abuse in this environment?
This is a critical issue finally receiving deserved attention, ARJIV. Researchers found college athletes experience emotional abuse more than any other harm. This abuse, often by coaches, manifests as verbal degradation, manipulation, or threatening behavior, deeply impacting mental and physical health. Many athletes maintain this abuse causes lasting, even irreparable damage, affecting self-esteem and overall well-being. This research drives calls for better oversight, support systems, and stricter accountability for coaches.
That's a vital conversation to have. Finally, turning to global soccer, the U.S. men's national team is gearing up for some crucial matches. What are their chances looking like for the World Cup?
The U.S. men's national team is heading into a pivotal period, ARJIV, with two important games providing crucial clues about their World Cup prospects. The team has been on an impressive run, unbeaten in its past five international matches. But now, they're up the ante with challenging fixtures against Belgium and Portugal. These high-stakes encounters will test their mettle against top-tier European competition and give fans a clearer indication of whether a deep run in the upcoming World Cup is realistic.
Those will certainly be matches to watch. And finally, in the world of technology, there's a new documentary creating buzz. Tell us about The AI Doc.
The AI Doc, subtitled, or How I Became an Apocalypse Optimist, features prominent figures like Sam Altman of OpenAI and Dario Amodei of Anthropic, aiming to chronicle AI advancements and philosophical debates. The documentary attempts to cover vast, complex subject matter, from AI's promises to its existential risks. While parts are fascinating, offering rare insights, reviews suggest the film tries to encompass so much it becomes more confusing than clarifying for the average viewer. It's an ambitious endeavor reflecting the current state of AI discussion itself.
It sounds like a documentary that mirrors the subject itself in its complexity. Arohi, thank you so much for breaking down all these stories for us today.
My pleasure, ARJIV.
And before we go, here's a unique and surprising fact for you. Did you know that most of the internet's data travels not through satellites, but through an astonishing network of fiber optic cables lying on the ocean floor? These subsea cables, some stretching tens of thousands of miles, are responsible for carrying over 99% of all international data traffic, connecting continents and powering our global digital world in a way few people ever truly appreciate. It's a true marvel of engineering that underpins nearly every online interaction we have. That's all for this edition of News Briefing. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a fantastic day. I'm ARJIV, and we'll catch you next time.